We're up to this 22nd perek, perech of Beis and Mesilas Yesharim, bebeur midas ha'anava. To clarify the characteristic of anava, this is way up on the list, past Precious and Chasidus. Anava is a very difficult level to achieve. Hinei, kevar dibarnu l'mala migmisa gaiva. Earlier, we spoke about how bad gaiva is, arrogance, being pompous. We spoke about how terrible that is. Mechlola nishma shevach anava. And you can infer from that, that if arrogance is bad, that humility is good. Ach ato nevar yoyse b'derech iker, hanava v'tisbar hagav mila. Here, we're going to clarify more, focusing on anava, and conversely, you can infer from that about gaiva. Hine. Klal ha'anava hu, the definition of anava. What does it mean to be humble? It's when a person does not consider himself special for any reason at all. As opposed to the balgaiva, who thinks he's very special for any trivial reason. The anav doesn't consider him special no matter what his qualities. What is the byproduct of this behavior? Will be exactly the opposite of gaiva. If you look into it, Nimsa, you'll see that anava, humility, is both in thought and deed. The first step is in the mind. A person has to think about himself in terms of humility. Then he can behave like people who are humble. Because if in his mind he doesn't think of himself in the terms of someone with humility, he just wants to act humble, he becomes one of the imitators, an imposter. These are bad people we mentioned above. These are hypocrites. There's nothing worse than them. These people in the world. We mentioned earlier on, Mesilas Yesharim has people who take pride in their humility, which is, again, is the antithesis. They're not anava, they're bali gaiva. Their gaiva is in their humility. So a person has to be truly humble before he behaves in a way that's consistent with his thoughts. Let's explain these two divisions between thought and deed. What does it mean to be humble in thought? A person has to think and realize, it has to be true to him, that he's not deserving of praise, he's not deserving of honor. Certainly, he doesn't deserve to be elevated over anyone else. This is because, by definition, he's not perfect. Not to mention a history that he has. That which he is deficient is obvious. Because no matter what level you're on, it's impossible to be perfect. Without many flaws. Either it's natural, or his association with family and relatives, or perhaps experiences he's had, or things he's done. We learn in Kehelas, there is no one so righteous that has never done something wrong. Now again, righteous people will do something wrong and they'll do tshuva right away. Right? If someone is a righteous person and he does something that he shouldn't have done, you know he does tshuva immediately. But he did something wrong. And this is something he carries with him. The Gemara says, you don't appoint a leader unless he has kupa shel shrotzim, a box of shrotzim, or tame animals, on his back. Meaning to say, you don't appoint someone to be a leader unless you know that he's had flaws and he's overcome them. He's done things wrong and he's overcome them. That's the person you want. The person who, in his mind, is perfect, who's never done anything wrong, that person is make-believe, he's pretend, it's arrogance, it's not true. There is no person like that. So, as far as the mindset goes, what does it take to be an anav? The first thing is to realize that you're not perfect. You're not perfect. Whatever maila you have, you're not perfect. These are the blemishes a person has that doesn't allow him to be elevated over others. Even if he has many, many good midos, many advantages that maybe others don't have, there are things about him that are very special. It doesn't make a difference. The fact that he has his natural flaws makes it enough to diminish or darken all his accomplishments. Hine, hachachma hi hamevia yosus adam leisnas begaiva. The one thing perhaps that brings people the most to arrogance is intelligence. Lefishikvar hi malish b'adam atzma, because that's intrinsic. V'chelik hanichbat shlo, in the most honorable part, the hainu seichel, the mind. So people with high intellects are the most vulnerable to gaiva. There is no chacham that won't make a mistake. There isn't a chacham that doesn't need to learn from other people. Sometimes from his students. Like the Gemara tells us, I learned much from my Rebbeim, a lot from my Chaverim, and the most from my Talmidim. So why should he think he's so great because he's so smart? Intelligence is, for many people, the cause of their arrogance. But if you really consider the fact that you don't know everything, you make mistakes, you do need to rely on other people, so why are you so arrogant? Now, there are people with a very straight seichel. They don't make mistakes. Really, truthfully, he may merit to be a tremendous, renowned chacham. When he examines and thinks and introspects, he'll see. There's no place for arrogance and lording over other people. And a person who has seichel and knows more than others. All he's doing is what came natural. Like a bird who can fly. That's the nature of a bird. Birds fly. An ox is very strong. He could schlep a yoke and a wagon, whatever. That's normal. That's what it does. That's how Hashem made it. So the person who's born with a tremendous intelligence, genius, who what did he do to accomplish genius? He did nothing. He was born that way. That's his nature. The person next to him, who's not such a chacham, had he been born with the same type of intellect, be just as smart as he was. Why are you being arrogant for? Why are you being condescending for? What makes you better than the next person? So the first thing the Ramchal points out is that even smart people, intelligent people, make mistakes. They're not perfect. And you shouldn't take pride in your intellect. And on top of that, people who are really genius, so what do they do to accomplish that? There are people with much lower intellect who work very hard to learn what they learn and know what they know. This fellow, everything came easy for him. So that's something to be about. Gaiva about. Where's the gaiva? It's like, that's how Hashem made him. He didn't do anything to earn that. Elam yesh bo chochma rabo, the person who has a lot of wisdom, he nehu mechuyuv lelamda. His obligation is to teach it, to share it. Lemishit sarach, to one who needs it. B'yochem Zaki taught this to us in Avos, im lamada to Torah habay. If you learned a lot of Torah, you know a lot of Torah. Al tachzik Torah le'atzmecha. Don't take pride in what you've learned. Don't think you're so great. Kilekach nitzarta. This is what you're created for. Im oshehu, wealthy people, yismach b'chalko. Be happy with your lot. V'alav hulazo misha einlo. Help people who don't have. In Gibru, if he's well, strong, so help people who stumble. Protect people who are oppressed. This is compared to you have a huge estate, a mansion, and you have people who work there to tend to it, the grounds, the house, different caretakers. Each one has his own job. And each one should stand on his position, what he's appointed to do, to make sure that everything is run properly. There's no room for arrogance. So too, the Ibn Hashem created people with intellect, people with strength, people with money. So use it. Use it for your job. It's a task. A person has a charge. This is your charge. This is what you're supposed to do. Use your intellect to teach to others. Use your wealth to help others who need. Use your strength to help people who are weak. This is the way you're supposed to think if you're thinking straight, if you're not corrupting in your thinking. When this becomes clear, that person is indeed humble. Because in his heart, in his mind, he is humble. David said this to Michal, in my eyes, I am very low. The Gemara says how great are people that are low spirited. If you bring a carbon oila, you get the reward of an oila. Mincha, you bring a carbon mincha, schar mincha biyado, you have the schar of a mincha. Al misha dai to shfala Allah, but a person doesn't think highly of himself. Malavakas of kilu hik of kabanas kulam. It's as if he brought all the kabanas. Shinema, like it says in Pasuk, zivche elokim rach nishpora. The offerings for Hashem is the broken spirit. This is a praise for those who are not arrogant. These are people who are humble in their hearts and in their minds. The Gemara says further, Hashem didn't pick you because you're so many. Hashem says, Banai, my children, the reason I long for you and love you, because even when I give you greatness, you make yourself small before me. I gave greatness to Avram. What happened? Amar, he says, I'm nothing. I'm dust, dirt. I gave greatness to Moshe and Aaron. Amar, they said, what are we? We're nothing. I gave greatness to David. Amar, what does David say? I'm an insect, not a man. This is when the heart that is straight doesn't allow itself to be convinced because he has some maila that he should be better than anyone else. He realizes that his mailas don't right lift him up. It doesn't raise him up. It's because he has other deficiencies that are impossible to avoid. And furthermore, even the mitzvahs that he's done, he certainly didn't accomplish the mitzvah to the nth degree. But and furthermore, even if his only flaw is that he's human, yilud isha, born from a woman, that alone is enough to realize that he's very low and small and has no right, and it's incorrect for him to think he's better than anyone else. Anything that he achieves, it's a kindness from Hashem. Hashem wants to give him this. Even though naturally, physically, he's a very low creature. What he should do is give thanks to the one who gave him these gifts and to be humble all the time. You know what this is like? You have a poor, destitute person. And someone gives him a tremendous gift. He's not going to be embarrassed. The more you're kind to him, the more embarrassed he is. It should be that way with anyone. If his eyes are opened, to see himself, when he achieves level before Hashem, he should be embarrassed about it. David says, everything is Hashem's kindness to me. Ukvarinu chasidim gedolim. Shenanshu al shechzik utoyv la'atzman en kol chasidusam. We find that there were some great people at high level, chasid, we just finished chasid, chasidus, and still they're punished because they took credit for something they did despite their chasidus. Nechem yimech achilai. Amuzal ben Emalo Nikra Sefer Shmuel. Why is the Sefer called Sefer Ezra, not Sefer Nehemiah? There is a Sefer Nehemiah too, but it's referring to Sefer Ezra. Neshe Hichsek Toiv LaAsa, because he took some credit for himself. V'chein Chizkia Amar Hine L'Sholom Mar Li Mar. L'Fisha Anu Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Ganosel Yerzos Hashir L'Mani L'Man David Avdi. When Chizkiah was saved, Hashem told him, I'm protecting the city for my sake and for David, my servant. Chizkiah said, L'shalom mar limar. He felt that he was the one who was protecting Yerushalayim. The Rosh Hashanah said, no, it's me and David. If he takes the zechus for himself, Hashem will attribute it to someone else. A person cannot take credit for things he's done, even the good things. Certainly not to be arrogant about it. This is because he has to think to himself, that who could be like Avram, Moshe, Aaron, David, and the other chassidim mentioned, and they all said things like, now we're not like Avraham, Moshe, Aaron, David. We're orphans of orphans. In our speaking close, we don't have to come on to that. There are plenty of things we're deficient in. We don't have to check too far. To see where we lack. And our wisdom is like nothing. The biggest wise man among us is a student of a student of the early generations. This is what you have to know for sure. Don't allow your heart to swell for no reason. We have to realize that we are really poor in intellect and weak in minds. There's a lot of foolishness in us, and mistakes abound. So that which we do know, it's a very small amount that there is to know. It really is inappropriate for us to be arrogant. What is appropriate is to be embarrassed, to be low. And that's obvious. That is anava in the mind. So Ramchal begins by explaining anava in context of your mindset. How do you see yourself? How do you think about yourself? And he focuses primarily on intellect because he says that is the easiest and most likely candidate for pitfall and gaiva. There are plenty of very smart people who are arrogant and pompous and condescending. And Ramchal, I'm sure, met people like that too. So he focuses on that point. And his basic position is that we are full of chisroinus, and no matter how much we know, there's more that we don't know. And that was in early generations, in our time, not to talk about. Obviously, we are lacking in knowledge compared to previous generations. So who do we think we are? And there's no room for arrogance and being pompous and gaiva because of a person's intellect. And on top of that, when people are truly genius, so what do they do to earn that? That's nothing they did. That's no accomplishment of theirs. That's how they're born. That's how Hashem made them. And if anything at all, it's a matter of A, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which He gifts us with, and B, to use it, to have somebody else use it, share it. And if Hashem gave us this gift, then don't let it sit idle, but use it. But it's certainly not a point for arrogance. So, in definition, it's clear that the concept of anova is for a person to not think that he's better than anyone else. That doesn't mean he is unaware that he's very smart. He can know he's very smart. He just has to know that that's not a reason to think you're better than anyone else. And that's true of any Milo. Anova doesn't mean he doesn't realize his gifts. Anava doesn't mean he doesn't realize his abilities and his talents and his accomplishments. What it means is that the fact that he's talented and accomplished and gifted is no reason to to be arrogant. That's not a reason to think you're better than the person next to you who is not as gifted, not as talented, not as accomplished. That's what anava is about. Anava isn't denial of what you've done and what you are gifted with. Anava is realizing that doesn't make you better than the next person. And you can't be condescending, and you can't be impolite, and you can't be arrogant, and you can't expect covet, and you can't, all these things, it's not coming to you. None of these things are coming to you. If anything, you should be appreciative. You should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he's given you. And you should strive to use your gifts and talents and accomplishments to help other people. That's the concept of anava. This is often pointed out from the Gemara at the end of Masechta Sota, where the Gemara describes that when different people died, different characteristics or traits were lost. When this one died, there was no one more covered of Torah. Mekiva died, no more covered of Torah. When this one died, there's no more shachtonim, people who are diligent in learning. It goes to the whole list. And at the end it says, when this one died, there was no more anava. There was no more humility. And Rav says, no, don't say that. I'm here. I'm an anav. Don't say there's no more anava. And everyone says, what does that mean? How can he say I'm an anav? Isn't that the height of lack of humility? They're saying, when this one died, that was the end of the era of humility. He says, no, don't say that. I'm alive. I'm an anav. So, according to the definition we're giving here, the anav doesn't deny his gifts and talents and accomplishments, right? He just doesn't think he's better than anyone else because of it. So a person can be aware that he's an anav. A person can be aware that he's an anav. And that doesn't diminish his anivus. That doesn't mean you're not humble because you realize you're humble. It's not a lack of humility to be aware you're humble. You know what's the lack of humility? When you think you're great because you're humble. That's the problem. And that's the famous story we said before. In the Vardik, it was known that the part of the Musa process in the Vardik was they would meditate and repeat themselves, Ich bin a garnished, I'm nothing, Ich bin a garnished. And the way the story goes, a young bachur just knew the yeshiva is sitting and saying, Ich bin a garnished, Ich bin a garnished. And one of the older bachur says, who do you think you are to say, Ich bin a garnished? Even saying, I'm nothing could be arrogant. That itself could be arrogance. Depends on if you think, oh, I'm so great. I'm a nothing too. I'm also a nothing. And they take pride in their anava. You take pride in your anava, that's gaiva. That's a problem. You can't take pride in your humility, but you can know that you're humble. That's what the Gemara says. Don't say there's no anava anymore. I'm alive. So being aware of who you are, being aware of your characteristics and what you work on, that's fine. It's just don't think that you're better than anyone else because of it. And certainly if it's a gift that you didn't work on and you didn't put an effort, it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So where is there room to be misko'eh? Again, the Ramchal focuses on intellect. And he says that's one of the prime areas of arrogance, especially because it's choshev. We know that being smart is itself a ma'ala ba'adam atzma, b'chelek ha'nechba, d'hanasecho. But there are people who take pride in their appearance. If someone is beautiful, they may be arrogant about that. If a person can dance well, they might take arrogance in that. They can sing well. There's so many things that people can be arrogant about. And what Ramchal is teaching us is, if a person can sing nicely, that's not a reason to be arrogant. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you a koyach. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you a koyach, use it right. So we know the story of Novel in the Navi. No, I'm sorry, Navos. Navos in the Navi had a field, and Achav wanted it, and he didn't want to give it to him, and Yizevel had a whole plan, and they framed him, accused him of a chet, which he didn't do, and he was killed. And then the property was taken by Achav. He took it, he possessed it as a melech. And ultimately the Ruach of Navos came and messed him up, and he went to battle, and he was killed. The Medrash asks, why did Navos get killed? I mean, it's telling us how evil Achav was. Achav was evil, he wanted his land, he couldn't get it legally, so he framed him, had him killed, and took the property. And in the end, the Ruach of Navos did him in. But why did Navos get killed? Like, what did Navos do that this ended up being his lot? And the Medrash brings that Navos had a beautiful voice. Had a beautiful voice. He sang beautiful. And he wouldn't sing for the Amid, to die for the Amid. He felt like different times, no, I'm not going to sing. This is like beneath him, whatever it is. He didn't use his voice for Kavod Shemayim the way he could have. And therefore, it's Chayav Misa. I've seen this. It's unbelievable. I've seen this. They go to a fellow to ask him down for the Amid. Shachris, let's say. He says, no, I'm a Bal Musaf. We have it. He has a beautiful voice. A Bal Musaf? I get that on Shachris. I'm a Bal Musaf. What does that mean? If Hashem gifted a person with a beautiful voice, use it to serve Hashem. Use it to serve Hashem. To say, no, I'm a Bal Musaf. I'm not Tamei Kabbalah Shabbos. Maybe that's what it was, whatever. No. What do you mean, no? This is the lesson that Chazal wanted to teach us from Navos. The Bereshit gave him a gift with his voice. He used it for the right thing. Not to be arrogant in things that are gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, I know that even with voices, there are people who work on their voice and they go to singing and lessons and training and stuff like that. It's very nice. But you have to start with something that's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if you work on it, same thing with intelligence. It's true, people can be very, very brilliant. Doesn't mean well, they know Torah until they sit and learn. They have to sit and learn. But ultimately, their brilliance, it gives them the ability to grasp and understand and to remember. And that's a gift. That's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something to be arrogant about. So whatever it is that makes us special, it's fine to be aware of our specialness. It's fine to be aware that we have koichas, we have abilities and talents. And it's fine to be aware that we have accomplishments. But at the same time, you can't think you're better than the next person over it because of it. The fact that you have this doesn't make you better than the next person. One more thing I want to point out, and that is how the Ramchal begins, how anova b'machshova, person has to be shuffle, person has to be low, shval ruach, ruach neshbara, shem lo sivze. So does that mean you're supposed to have poor self-esteem? Is that what it means? Misha died to shvalolov, kila kikav kol kabanos, zivche elakim, ruach neshbara, nemuche royach. I think that people with poor self-esteem end up being arrogant more often than another. The people who do not think highly of themselves very often compensate by acting in a way that is arrogant. I don't know if you've ever seen what I'm describing, but if you think about it, I think it's true. That people who behave in ways that are inappropriate in this regard usually don't think too well about themselves. Because if they're comfortable with who they were, they wouldn't need to do that. They wouldn't need to put on the show. They wouldn't need to boss people around. They won't need it. They're fine with who they are. The more comfortable you are with who you are, the less need there is to exhibit behavior of authority or leadership or control or whatever you're going to see in people who are misnasei, people who demand respect. The people who demand respect usually don't think too highly of themselves. The people who think are very comfortable with who they are, they don't need it. I don't need other people's respect. I don't need their gratitude. I don't need their compliments. I'm fine. Perfectly comfortable with who I am. And people who are not comfortable with who they are often the ones who need that. Now, sometimes, I've seen this also, at least I've seen it written down or spoken about, people who are confident and comfortable with themselves might be misconstrued as arrogance. In other words, if a person is confident with himself, I don't need all these things, I don't need people's approval, I don't need the gratitude, is that itself an arrogance? It doesn't have to be. It just means they're fine with who they are. They're fine with who they are, and they don't need it. So no one is saying that it's a good thing to have poor self-esteem. And I think that in the long run, people with poor self-esteem end up behaving in ways that in fact demonstrate or exhibit the midos he's trying to avoid by anava. They're not going to end up being anavim. The anav isn't the person with poor self-esteem. The anav is the person who's got fine self-esteem. He's perfectly comfortable not getting picked, not being the one in the limelight, not getting the one with his picture taken, not getting his name in the papers. He's fine. I'm fine. I don't need to be in the papers. I don't need to have my picture taken with the guest of honor. I don't need to be honored. I don't need to get shlishi and shul for aliyah. I don't need... They're fine. They're perfectly fine with who they are. So I think ultimately the people who are more comfortable with themselves, with the higher self-esteem, are more better candidates for anava than people with poor self-esteem. So again, the cause of anava is you know what you're about and don't think you're better than anyone else because of it. That's the concept. And I think the more comfortable a person is with himself, the less he needs recognition. And the less comfortable he is with himself, the more he does. And many times, people involved in community service, whether it's involved with a shul or with an organization or with a school, some people end up feeling very bad that they're overlooked and no one appreciates me and no one thanks me and no one recognizes me. And when you do things for the tzibur, when you do things for the klal, again, whether in a shul, whether in a school, organization, whatever it is, you shouldn't be doing it for recognition. You shouldn't be doing it for the appreciation. You do because it's the right thing to do. You do it because it needs to be done. It's the right thing to do. And don't expect to be appreciated. And don't expect to be honored. And you'll be fine. It's only when you anticipate that, that you have a problem. And it was very upsetting. So again, it's the concept of being comfortable with who you are and avoiding the limelight and avoiding honor, that's fine. And when you work for other people, don't expect it and don't want it. That's this midah v'anava. There's a story in the Chumash, and the Gemara talks about it, with Eldad and Medad, and they had Nevuah and the Machaneh, and we learned that there was going to be a selection of 70 Zakenim, but if you take 6 from every Shevet, it's 72. So you only need 70. How do you take 70 out of 72? So Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to do a Goyrel, do a lottery, and on 70 pieces of paper it says Zaken, on 2 it's blank. And then everyone picks a lot, every Shevet divides 6 Zakenim, potential Zakenim, and they each pick, and 2 are left out. Eldad and Medad did not go to pick lots because they didn't feel it was on their madrega, they didn't think it was right, they were an oven, they just will pass. We don't deserve this honor of being a Zakein. So they didn't pick. Of course, their names were still left in. 2 other people had blank and theirs were still in there, Zakein. But they weren't going to take, so they had Nevuah. They had Nevuah as a Zechus for their Anova, they had Nevuah. And some say the Nevuah was that Moshe will die and Yeshua will be in Klai Yisrael at the Midbar, and they were very upset. How could they have such a Nevuah? Moshe is alive, it's not nice. So they say we should put them in prison, and Moshe says, no, halavai, more people will be like that. So according to the Gemara's version, Moshe Rabbeinu said, give them tzarchei tzibur, and the Nevuah will go away. Just give them tzarchei tzibur, give them jobs. Give them jobs for the community, and the Nevuah will go away. So Tosfos says, the reason the Nevuah is going to go away is because you only get Nevuah when you're b'simcha. Only people who are happy get Nevuah. Shechina is only shor mitoch simcha. And if you give them tzarchei tzibur, they won't be happy. Give them community service, their happiness will disappear. The happiness disappears, then their nevuah goes away. So the simple reading is that when you work for the tzibur, you have a lot of aggravation, a lot of upset, and you're not going to have simcha, so nevuah goes away. But I think this is a different pshat. I think pshat's like this. if you think working for the community is an honor, and therefore Elder and Maida didn't want to take us, it's not so, we don't deserve this honor. You think it's an honor, then get involved in Sechet Sibur and your simcha disappears. Because you realize that it's aggravation, and you don't get recognized, and you don't get appreciated, and you're very upset. But if you realize that Sechet Sibur is not a kavod, it's a job. It needs to be done. Someone has to do it. And I can do it, so I'm getting involved in it. Then you can also have simcha too. Your simcha won't necessarily go away. The simcha goes away with Sechet Sibur when you think it's a kavod. You think it's a kavod, you're in for a surprise. It's not a kavod. It's hard work. People don't appreciate you. People are upset at you. It's aggravating. It's frustrating. So you thought it's kavod, your simcha goes away. If you understand that it's difficult, it's a difficult job, but it has to be done. And I'm going to do it despite the fact that it's difficult. But you know it's difficult up front. And you don't do it for appreciation. And you don't do it for recognition. You'll be fine. You'll have simcha also. It's shaykh to have simcha too. And Sechet Sibur. If you realize that this is not a kavod. So again, this goes back to the whole concept of anova versus pursuit of kavod. We don't pursue kavod. We don't pursue honor. We don't pursue the limelight. We don't pursue the recognition. If you go through life with that mindset, you'll be a lot happier. If you have it in mind, you'll be very upset. Because it's only in the fairy tales that you get that pat on the back and the appreciation and everything else. I'm not saying it never happens. It could happen sometimes. But it's not, you can't expect it. You can't go into it anticipating and expecting it because you're just going to be disappointed.